My message for this first Sunday of the year is putting first things first. And so I'm actually going to do a series over the next few weeks on looking at first, what the Bible says about first. And it's a very strong message that the Bible has. So as we're looking forward into 2024, who's excited about 2024? Woo! Liars. No. You know, as we look forward into 2024, we want the year to be successful, right? We want it to be a productive year. And so for us as believers, there's some things that we need to attend to in order to make sure that that does happen. And sometimes what it means is we've got to put first things first before we really kick off into the year. And so throughout the pages of Scripture, you'll find the principle of attending to the first things, whereby applying this teaching to our life can determine the quality and effectiveness of our life moving forward. So this week, I'm beginning a new series, Putting First Things First, to help us get a better understanding of what God calls us to put first in our life to help our build lives of substance and significance. So in Scripture, the law of putting first things first says that whatever is done first determines the rest. That's a principle throughout Scripture. And this first thing principle is actually important to God. He put this principle in His Word because He wants us to help us build solid and successful lives that can withstand the storms and pressures of life. So 2024, there are still going to be storms and pressures that come our way. But God has put this principle of putting first things first, so that whatever may come our way, if we're putting this into practice, we're going to be on solid ground and in a good place to be able to overcome that. And so there's actually an example of this principle in the book of Haggai. And Haggai was a prophet, Old Testament prophet, who was actually called by God to go to the city of Jerusalem to call the people to get their lives right and put first things first, to make sure that they get their priorities right. And so this is a situation where the people of Jerusalem were taken away into captivity by the Babylonians, and they were living there for about 70 years. When they were taken captive away from Jerusalem, all that was left were the weak and the feeble, a small minority of people that couldn't do much. And so over that 70-year period, you think about if you left something untouched for 70 years, you didn't attend to the maintenance of it, everything started to decay. And so this was prophesied by, I think, the prophet Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of those. And it talks about the fact that after 70 years, the people would actually be released back to come back to Jerusalem, back to their homeland. And so around that time, King Darius was appointed. And he felt that God had called the people to go back to the nation of Israel, back to Jerusalem. And so that started to happen. And so we have these people that were living in captivity coming back to their city, only to find that the whole place was in ruins. The city was in decay. But more importantly, the temple of Solomon was in total disarray. And so when the people came back, they actually came back with a calling from God to come back and restore the city of Jerusalem and restore the temple of Solomon. And so even though the people promised that when they would return back to the city, that they would actually rebuild the temple of Solomon, after a few years, they started to get distracted and started to work on other things. So like all of us, if we come back to our home and it's been in ruins, the first thing we want to do is fix it up. And so the people got busy rebuilding their houses, rebuilding their city, and they did some work to the temple of Solomon, the temple for the people, but they got distracted. And so all that distraction meant that nothing was getting done what that should have been done on the temple. So God sends a prophet to tell them, what are you doing? Get your act together. And so we read from Haggai chapter 1. It says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. It says, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while the house remains a ruin? This always happens when I bring up the first scripture. Okay, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. Not today. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. This is coming to a people who said, yeah, when we get back, yeah, for sure, we're going to rebuild the temple. It's so important to us. But as they got in there, it's like, well, there are other things that we need to be doing. And so, friends, if we don't take care of the first things, it doesn't matter what else we do. Well, I'm not sure if I wrote that right. My English isn't that great. I'm not thinking, I hope that's the right way to say it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? If we don't take care of what should be taken care of first, anything else that comes after it will not matter. And so there's a story of a baseball player, a man called Bobby Bowden, who played baseball in college and he never hit a home run. In his senior year at Howard College, he was the only player not to hit a home run. One day he hit a line drive against Auburn, so it's almost like a side kind of hit. And he took off, running. This is my chance. As he approached third base, the coach was waving him on, and as he made his turn, he heard his coach say, hurry, keep going. Eventually got to touch home base, a home run. The team were ecstatic, slapping his back and high fives. However, the opposition first baseman yelled for the catcher to throw him the ball, and when he received it, the umpire yelled, out! See, when Bobby ran the bases, he never touched first base. Bobby Bowden eventually became a football coach, and he would often tell his players, if you don't take care of first base, it doesn't matter whatever else you do. See, this story reminds us that there are some things that need to be attended first before other things can be done at all. If we don't pay attention to our first base, whatever that might be, I'm not talking about going on a date either. If we don't pay attention to our first base, we could be ignoring what will help to lay down a solid foundation for our future, for our success. Where everything else that we could do after, if we don't take care of first base, everything else that we could do afterwards could end up being cancelled because we didn't attend to the most important thing. And so God sends Haggai to tell the people to get their priorities straight, to get back in line with what they knew they should be doing. See, they knew they had to go back and rebuild the temple. God told them to do that. And so the first people to return from exile, they actually set about clearing the rubble that had been left there for over 70 years while they'd been in captivity. In the early years, they even started to rebuild the temple. And their Samaritan neighbours wanted to come along and help them, and the Jewish people said, no, we'll just do it on our own. So this upset them, upset the Samaritans, and so they sent a report to King Darius and saying, listen, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're off doing other things. And so the king came along and said, No rebuilding of anything. The city, houses, the temple, everything. So everything got put to a halt. After a few years of nothing happening, the people get back to rebuilding their houses. And the city Jerusalem was being rebuilt. People got used to living their life without having any form of temple worship. They were rebuilding their farms, rebuilding their home. They were starting to bring in commerce and trade and industry and all this sort of stuff. Their houses were starting to look good. Things were starting to look good, but the temple was left unattended. And over the time of getting busy, they didn't have any time for temple worship, and so they started to let go of even that. There was no temple, no religious practices in the temple. So any form of spiritual discipline or practice was put aside because people were too busy rebuilding their home. And so it was sometime later that God sends Haggai to the people with one message: finish rebuilding the temple. It's time to put first things first. Because the temple was the center of the presence of God. It's where the people went to worship. It was a symbolic thing to the nations around them that God was a God who lived amongst these people, and that the people could go there and connect with him in a divine way. And yet here were the people saying, well, that's not as important as what we need to rebuild our homes. We need to reestablish our families, our community, our city, our farms, our industry. And so it was a sign of the people's lack of value towards the things of God. And so Haggai comes along and he gives them these three things. He says, stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. The Lord of hosts says this: these people say, the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be built. The people are making excuses as why the temple should be laying in ruins. Friends, if we don't have God as a priority in our life, it is easy for us to start making excuses about letting go of some of our Christian duties and obligations. And like the people in Jerusalem, we will find reasons for not doing what God wants us to do. We'll tell ourselves the time's not right. We'll tell ourselves we've got family responsibilities. We're too busy at work to be able to help. There's all these things that come up that's like, I just need to attend to these things. So the first step to getting back to putting first things first is to admit that we just are making excuses and we're avoiding our responsibilities to God and his purposes. The second thing is this. He calls them, says, stop being selfish. The word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while the house of God lies in ruins? So Haggai challenges the people's selfish behavior. And so, friends, if we're not careful, our selfish mentality can override everything else going on in our life. Paneled houses, the word paneled houses was actually, when I used to read this, it was like, paneled houses, they're still working on it. But the word paneled houses was a way of saying the completed house that had been done. So the work that they had done on their house had been completed. But what was going on was they were doing more. They'd finished the work, but it's like, I need a gymnasium here. I need a jacuzzi over in this section. And so they started getting more and more involved. They'd done the work. They'd finished their houses. And here's the thing. God was gracious enough to let them get their house in order, to put their house back together. But it was after a while, I said, listen, you're just so distracted. Get off focusing on yourselves and start coming back to help rebuild the temple. Their homes were no longer in the building phase. Friends, there's nothing wrong with having a nice house. I've got to say that because I've got a 5-car garage and a tennis pool and swimming pool as well. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home. What's wrong is to own a nice home while our responsibility to serving God's purposes is pushed aside. What's wrong is spending all our money and time on selfish things while we ignore the things of God. And if we don't take the time and think about how we are living to assess what we are giving our priorities to, then our natural inclination is to live for ourselves, is to satisfy our selfishness. The dishonesty of our heart is always bent towards selfishness. This is our natural inclination. And so this is what happened to the people coming back from captivity. After living in captivity, their natural inclination was to rebuild their own lives. And we understand that. If we've been in captivity for a while, the first thing is say, man, I need to rebuild my life. I need to get my finances together. I need to, you know, build my skill base. I need to start networking, all that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a natural inclination. It's not a bad thing to want to do that. But it was coming at the expense of neglecting and rebuilding the temple. And so this is what happens when we don't continually and consistently have God first in our lives. Eventually, the desires of our heart will drag us away from attending to what God has called us to do. This is the challenge and the struggle that we have. I'm just going to wipe that point away. Okay, there you go. Third thing he says, stop and think. Trust me, he does. Eventually. Stop and think. It says, consider, give careful thought to your ways. Twice he says that. Give careful thought to your ways. Think about it. Think about it. Haggai asked the people to do some self-examination before God. He wanted the people to stop long enough in the busyness of life to take that time and sort of say, what are my priorities? What is the thing that I should be attending to? Because friends, if we don't stop and pause and think about it, there'll be other things out there that will grab your attention and make it seem like you need to attend to that first. One of the things as a pastor is you try and not to open your emails first thing in the morning. Because as soon as you open your emails, you start to try and address some of the things that pop up. And it's like you've got to say, God, I need to put that aside and make sure that's not the first thing I do. Otherwise, I will become distracted. And so every day we need to evaluate how we are spending our time and our money and how we're using our talents. With all the opportunity that we have been given, and there's so many things that want our time, our energy, and our finances. And it's not a bad thing to examine what we're doing with our life, where we are going to assess how we choose, even the type of friends that we hang around with. What we have set as our life goals, where we are going with life. It's not a bad thing to assess every now and then to sit back and say, okay, where am I at with life? Is this where I'm fully utilizing the skills and talents that God has given me? Am I connecting with the right people? People that are going to help me flourish, go forward, are they going to help me pull me down? The failure to make the necessary changes today can result in problems tomorrow. When we stop making excuses and stop being selfish and start to get our priorities straight, then we'll see God's work in our life for the good of all. And this is what happens when we start to put the first things first. We put our priorities right. Three things will happen when we start to put our priorities right. We start to get involved in the right things. Like I said before, there are a lot of things that want your attention. There are a lot of things that want your energy. But if we put God first in our life, if we have Him as the first priority, then we start to assess, is this really helping me move forward, helping me commit myself to God, or is it going to pull me away? And so Haggai says to the people in the simple thing, he didn't tell them, go away and fast for 40 days and, you know, read half of the Bible and you know, have a year of silence. He said this, go up in the hills, bring down lumber and build the house. Then I'll be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. He just says, listen, start building. I've called you to build the house. What is the practical thing that needs to be done? Go and start attending to it. Don't go looking for all these deep spiritual things, but just make sure that whatever is before you, start to attend to that to help build the kingdom of God. Right priorities cause us to give our energies and efforts to the right things. So if we're people who have putting God's will first, and want to do the right things first, then we will be people who put God's will and purpose first, who want to spend time with God, who want to serve people, and who want to honor God with our time, talents, and finances. We start to put our energies into the right things rather than everything else that is demanding of our time and energy. Because we start to assess all these opportunities that are out there, are they for the kingdom of God or are they for myself or for others? And so we start to get involved in the right things. Secondly, God is glorified. The purpose of our life is to glorify God. We are here. We exist because God has given us the opportunity to proclaim his name, to show people the goodness of God through our life. When God is not first, we are apathetic to his name being honored and his reputation being glorified. Jesus even teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. It says, hallowed be your name. The first thing off from the Lord's Prayer that we start off with is to hallow, honor the name of God. So God gives us this opportunity when we put our priorities right, when we have them in the first things first, then we say, God, in everything that I do is to glorify your name. Not to promote myself, not to promote my spectacular life, but God, everything that I want to do is to help you be glorified because you're the priority in my life. Everything we think and say and should do should be to honor God and bring credit to his name. So whatever our occupational calling is, you could just be a street sweeper, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be great things that we've got to do. But even just whatever we are finding our hands to attend to, the work that we're doing out in the society, If our focus is in God being glorified, then whatever we are doing, whatever we're working at, whatever job we've been given will be, God, how can I glorify you through this place? How can I glorify you through this work? You've given me this opportunity. You're providing for me through my work. But God, it's also an opportunity for you to be glorified. We've always, with our houses that we've, you know, lived in over the years, has always been, God, how can we use this house for the glory of your name? We thank you, God, that you've given us the 5 cars and the swimming pool and tennis court and jacuzzi, whatever. But God, we just want this house to be used for your glory. Because we want to make sure that our priorities are right in whatever God gives us to do. You know, God is so invested in this that when the temple wasn't being built that would display the glory of God, he considered it an offense to him. When the people didn't attend to the temple, it upset him because he knew that the people, that was a reflection of the fact that people were saying, my house is more important, my life is more important than God's reputation, God's glory. And it showed that they were disinterested in having a relationship with God. And so they were prepared to let go of the building that represented the spiritual life and the presence of God. They were like, well, you know, I haven't got time for that. And so God's saying, you're turning your back on me. By not even just building a building, you're turning your back on me. And so, friends, sometimes even with all our prayers and our Bible readings and whatever, if we're not attending to the things that God has called us to attend to, it could be still a slap in the face of God. Because saying, well, you're just showing you're not interested in glorifying my name. But when we do this, when we put God as a priority in our life, God blesses us. He says, the Lord's messenger gave this message of the Lord to the people, I am with you, declares the Lord. When we put God first in our life, he blesses us. He blesses us with his presence. He actually says in this passage, he says, because you are not putting me as a priority in your life, everything that you do, everything that you try to do to be a success, it just seems like it's a waste of time. You're trying to save money, but you've got empty pockets. You're trying to harvest your fields, but nothing's coming about. Because I'm not being honored, because I'm not first priority, I can't bless you. But when you start to put me first, he says the blessing starts to flow. It's like this. God has called us, each and every one of us, for a purpose here on the earth. Each and every one of us is called by God for a specific purpose. If God is not our priority, and it's a secondary thing, why would God want to bless us? Because everything that he would give us would not go to him for his glory. It would go to something else because that's our priority. But if we put God first, then God's saying, hey, you're doing a great job glorifying my name and spreading the message, spreading the gospel, in helping to build my church. What else do you need? You need more money? Here you go. You need a new car? Here you go. What else do you need? Whatever we need for the building of the kingdom of God, God will pour out his blessing upon us. But friends, if we've got a different priority, if the priority is about our life, our selfishness, our needs, then God's going to say, why would I want to waste money on a bad investment? But when we put God first, he knows it's a good investment. He knows he will not lose out in blessing us. And Jesus actually talked about this. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. I like to read the Bible the Irish way, and it says this, all these things will be provided for you as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be provided for you when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The blessings of God come through our obedience to serving God's will and purpose first. So if we want to experience God's blessing, we need to attend to the things that God sees as a priority and not what we think should be the priority. In 2005, at the peak of the housing boom in the United States, more than 2 million new homes are being built. Just a rapid rate of knots. To compare this to a normal construction year, in 2000, in a normal year, half a million homes would normally be built. But in the housing boom, over 2 million homes were just being built. The housing boom fed the public's appetite for new houses. House prices were rising quickly. Mortgage terms were being slack. You could easily get a mortgage from a bank. Developers were churning out prefab homes on the hope of just flipping an instant profit. To keep up with the frenetic pace of construction, corners were cut. Developers put pressure on contractors to build cheap and fast houses. One Seattle developer boasted a 54-day construction schedule of a home. 54 days. Although where David works, they are very diligent in their building practices. Just to be clear. Who's your company, David?
Sorry.
Who's your company?
Tom,
they are very diligent. They don't cut corners. Contractors, short of experienced subcontractors, hired unskilled laborers to handle critical tasks like pouring foundations, hanging windows, and installing roofs. And with a shortage of quality building materials, this led to cheap, unstable substitutions, mostly from China. Now, if that wasn't enough, building inspectors, who were often pushed for time, that were relied upon, that were needed for spot checks of what the work was being done, were being rushed around, and they often overlooked serious design and construction flaws. And of those 2 million homes built in 2005, experts estimate that nearly 20% of the homes that were built had at least two significant defects, anything from cracked foundations to leaky roofs or critical structural failures. So it was things like leaky roofs. Oh, it's not up there. I didn't put it in there. Leaky roofs, basement flooding, cracked foundations, mold outbreaks were common faults, all because builders overlooked putting first things first. Looking forward into 2024, there are a lot of things that God wants to fill up our life with to help make our life meaningful and fruitful, to offer us a great year ahead. But before we can move forward, before we jump into the new year, we need to ask ourselves, we need to ask God to show us, what do we need to do first? Looking into 2024, what is it that we need to do first? For 2024 to be started off on the right foot, whatever God tells us is of first importance is a thing we need to put first in our life. Otherwise, friends, we could be building something that we look, may look significant, looks great, completed, but could be full of structural defects and instability. God does not want to rush ahead. He has a plan and purpose. He does things in His time. And sometimes we need to not rush ahead. Before we do anything else, we need to say, God, what do I need to attend to first? This is something we need to take time to ask the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, what do I need to attend to first before you pour out all your blessing upon us? Amen. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we want to take a moment here with you. Start of a new year, the first Sunday of the year. We thank you, God, that you've brought us this far by your grace. Maybe we feel like we stumbled over and we just landed in 2024. We don't know how we got here, but Lord, here we are. We know, God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine for our life. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask this. What do we need to attend to first before anything else? We don't want to miss our first base and feel like we've made a home run, but find out that we've been called out. So help us to be people who are diligent, attentive, take away any selfish inclinations that we have that could be a distraction. Help us to be focused upon honoring you in every area of our life, work, family, friendships, colleagues, whatever in our society. Help us to be a people that want to honor you first, that seek first the kingdom of God. The areas that we struggle with, the areas of selfishness, the areas of self-promotion. Lord, whatever distractions are out there begging for our attention, help us to see, God, that they're not the good things. They're not the right things. They're not the things that should be made a priority. But help us get back, Lord, to working with you to build your kingdom, to see your kingdom come, to see your will done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I mean, we're going to finish off with a time of worship, but also I just want to open up the opportunity for people to come forward in prayer. And it just might be that we want to, you know, you need a prayer about knowing what God really wants for you for this year. What are the priorities? You're asking And we want to stand with you and believe God to reveal, to show you what are the priorities in your life that need to be attended to, or just maybe the struggles that just need to be broken for you to move forward. God wants to bless us. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be fruitful. Regardless of what has gone before all these years, this is a new season, a new day. Moving forward, we say, God, we can believe for better things. There are greater days ahead because, God, we're with you. We're working for you. We know that the blessing flows through that today. So if you like prayer this morning, we do that. Oh, just wonder if we can bring up the blessing. I thought that'd be a good thing. Oh, mate, we're on sync. How's that, eh? We're going to pray the blessing. Not just sing it, we're going to pray the blessing over your life. Let's stand this morning. Let's make it our prayer. But also, if you need prayer this morning, love to pray with you, love to stand with you. Believe God for greater days. Amen. Praise God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn